Next item is item nine, 4VAC 272010, James River Handscrape Area, Thomas Rock Handscrape Area, James River, from February 1, 2011. It says through February 15, 2011, or what might be less restrictive. Proceed, please.
So at the December meeting, we had the discussion based on some petitions that we have from the Waterman to, in fact, there's here's one more coming today, just speaking to that same petition, and there are comments here on this item from CBF and Roger Mahon. Waterman had come in and requested an extension to the hand scrape season for the Lower James, and of course, as you recall, we're talking about the that area from where the hand scrape line, I mean the hand dong line ends towards the east in the James River. It had been open for 3 months, from October through December, as were a lot of the areas, as you can see from the chart. In previous years, it had been a three-month season, but often it was staggered and was coming later in the season than the way it was this year, when the Waterman requested that all the seasons start together and therefore they end together. And this, just for comparison, based on the fall stock assessment, where we were at the beginning of the season, the area that we just talked about, Drummond Ground, had about six market orchards per meter. This started off the year at 1.7, so it's a lower density area than, say, Drummond Ground that we just talked about. But because it's many, many more acres, there's still a significant quantity of orchards out there spread out. But just starting out at the 1.7 per meter, that's only about 25, averaging about 25 bushels per acre of market orchards. The Waterman asked that it be extended, and in the conversations amongst the commissioners, it was, you know, suggested that possibly 2 weeks to make up for the weather, even though we pretty much had factored weather in and given a three-month season instead of two, but we agreed to go out and resurvey the area in January, and BIMS and BMRC went out and did our survey. And what you can see, I mean, what we did see is a lot of the areas are pretty much gone, but some areas still had a few on it, so the average didn't go down a big amount, 1.7 per meter to 1.4. So we are at least comfortable with the idea of the additional 14 days, but it seems to make more sense to us that if we were going to extend the season, to go and extend it for the entire month, but to lower the limit similar to Drummond Ground, so that since Drummond Ground already has a higher amount and we're lowering the limit, we certainly would not want a 10-bushel limit in the James River. If we were going to extend it, we'd want to put the limit the same as it was in Drummond Ground, and then the two areas would be equal. People wouldn't be so likely to run from one area to the other. But in order to make that change, we would have to have an emergency for that part, as opposed to the adding an extra 14 days for the whole month.
Okay. Any questions of Dr. Wesson? So the question I've got is, and I know and I appreciate the efforts that you, Dr. Mann, everyone involved, went out during the survey. Are you reasonably certain from a scientific perspective that by doing this we're not going to do any biological harm? I realize it's a possibility that what we're catching, and you correct me if I'm wrong, maybe the oysters that would have been caught next year.
Absolutely.
I mean, so next year if it's down and the sampling's not, that is a possibility. Is that correct?
That's absolutely.
But from a biological perspective?
Biological perspective, our best understanding of this area is that the spawning stocks are the Handong area. And that area is very high density, relatively low impacted, the areas that are very high density. So the spawning stocks are safe. I mean, what the con is that you are You know, you're taking stuff that you'll be able to catch next fall.
Questions of Dr. Wesson?
Well,
Mr. Fox?
Well, as chairman of the Shellfish Committee, I should point out to everyone that the chart that's on the wall is the chart that the Shellfish Management Committee endorsed unanimously. That's what they wanted. It was explained carefully to them at the time that the season would close in most areas on December 31. There would not be anything for them to do oystering-wise after that, with the exception of Area 4 and the Rappahannock. They understood that, and they said that's what they wanted to do because they saw the opportunity to get higher market prices in October. So we went along with that. They got the higher prices in October, $40 a bushel in there. But now we're down to very few oysters left, and they will be taking them from next fall. And I would think if they caught what's down there now, the one oyster per square meter, you may be looking at 2 month season next fall instead of 3 month season.
Absolutely.
And that would be it would seem to me be worse for the watermen than having it open now.
Further comments from members of the committee? I'm sorry, Mr. Tankard.
Hand scrape, you know, as a seasider, sometimes I'm not the term, you have to remind me what's entailed, and what do you think about the practice of hand scraping in this area also?
Well, when you, at the densities that we're talking about here, it would be impossible to catch anything but with a hand scrape. The densities are too low for a hand tong. I mean, we have, it is confusing. We have three hand gear types in orchards. We have by hand, which you're familiar with on seaside. We have hand tongs, which are the old-fashioned, the hand tongs that are Upper James River. And then we have hand scrapes, which the reason they were called hand scrapes is it's a misnomer. Originally, when they came out and they started using them in the Potomac first, you pulled them back by hand. You were not allowed to pull them in with any kind of mechanical winder. And so they were called hand scrapes. They are smaller dredge, and you could lift them by hand. We have just kept that term to denote a 22-inch one from a 36 or 48-inch one, a full-size dredge versus a hand scrape, okay. Even though we allow them to use a winder. It's not a hand scrape anymore, but we call it that.
Mini
and
dredge.
So a mini dredge,
but it's kind of hard to say that with a.
And so my follow-up question then is, if we are in fact dredging that over the bottom, are we diminishing some of the ability of those really small spat type oysters to continue on in their life cycle?
Well, that's always a possibility, and what we could see in the stock assessment was that the number of spat had declined in that 3 month season from what we saw in the fall, but it, and I think they declined not quite a half, but almost a half. But the number of small orchards had increased a little bit, and I think that was some of the spat that had grown big enough that they'd gone from one classification to another classification. So it wasn't as dramatic as 50% off because some of them had gone into the smalls. It still is down some, and part that's natural and part of it could be rehandling them, but it doesn't seem to be terrible.
Of Mr. Schick and Mr. Plumley.
As far as what was caught during the approved season, was that the expected catch?
I think they did well. Yeah.
So this is not a situation where they didn't get to catch and they want to catch some, you know, to make up. This is just there are more oysters out there still to be caught, and let's go get them.
And there's nothing to do, so you want to extend this season.
Yeah. Mr. Plumley?
Well, this recommendation is are you still tying it to the reduction in the daily catch per commercial fisherman from 10 to 6? Bushels per day, so you want to tie those two together.
Right. I mean, if you want to stay with 14 days, then you could stay at 10. But it would seem to make more sense that just make the limit the same it was in Drummond Ground. Otherwise, you'll have all sorts of potential for flocking from place to place. They'll come up and go with it and get 10 at the beginning. At the end of the 2 weeks, then they'll go to the other spot. If keeping the same, then maybe the industry will stay separate.
I guess what occurred to me was that if they're going to be catching slightly more oysters or getting slightly more oysters from their harvest but having to do it over a longer period of time, that extends their work season and there's just a lot more activity. But you're saying that that wouldn't be the case necessarily?
Well, you're going to stop when you get six as opposed to, if say you get six by 11 or 12 o'clock, you'd stop as opposed to going all the way to 2 o'clock to try to get 10. Okay. So it probably evens out at the end.
Mr. Fox?
What is the quality of the oysters they're catching in the James, or they have caught over the past season? Last fall.
The Handong oysters are not great, just meat-wise and things. The dredge ones were better in the fall. I think they're the ones that we looked at in the survey were not that great. They are sick, and that's an issue. These are higher salinity oysters, and they're not as meaty, but they have a nice shape on the from the hand scrape oysters versus the hand tong. So you can get by with them a little bit better for boxing than you can chucking, and the quantities we're talking about now.
I don't think any buyers were turning them back.
No, they're not turning them back but they may not get the prices that they were getting at the beginning.
So the prices now?
Prices are lower now.
Lower now. And the demand is lower as well?
The demand for oysters in general is lower. So it's just after the holidays, things just slow up a lot.
Further questions? Thank you, Dr. Wesson. This is a public hearing. Does anyone wish to be heard on this matter? Ma'am, you're first. You've been here a long time. Ladies first.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Alice Furman. I'm related to half of James River. Oyster being my husband, my father-in-law, my brothers, all of them are up there. I appreciate you trying. They would like to have the month. Most of them are over, 90% of the guys in the James River are over 50. They're hurt, they're sick, they love their work. That's all they want to do. Our uncle's 89, he's the oldest. Still trying to hand tong. He's going to go overboard one day. He needs to be able to scrape, and that's what we're asking for. Please let us go back to scraping. These guys, they want to work. They'll take the six. They want the 10, but tough. I mean, I take care of four of the boats as far as the paperwork that comes to you.
Yes, ma'am.
So I see what they're making every day. They'll take the six if they can get a month. They'll be very happy. And they'll know 5 minutes after you guys make a decision what your decision was because I'm calling them. But it's mainly I'm worried about them being so old, out there working every day. My father-in-law is 75. Our uncle's 89. My husband's the last of our family and his brother to be fishermen. We're dying. Our group is dying. So if you could please, in your hearts, let us scrape, we would appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to be heard? Yes, sir. Come forward, please. Good afternoon.
Yes, sir. My name is David Smith, and I'm from Matthews. And I'm one of the Patentongs oysters. And I feel also if you do extend to James, maybe you could extend Deep Rock for us. That I feel like what's fair for one is fair for another. Is there anything I can add to
Dr. that? Weston, you care to comment?
Same situation. I mean, it's there. We live with low densities in Virginia, so we have there's probably a few, the density is actually a little higher Deep Rock because there's only been just a few people working on it. So
my question is that plausible? Is that from a biologic?
It would be an emergency, as opposed, but biologically, it is about the same. The main spawn and stock for deep rock is the young thing.
Considering the same analogy that we're using in the James River, is it applicable to deep rock? The same set of circumstances. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Question.
Any questions? I'm sorry. Mr. Fox has a question.
Yeah. Either one of you, it doesn't make a difference. Do the watermen in your area, did they understand what they were getting into when this was approved?
Well, not quite, because we spoke to the office and said we would rather have it December, January, February, because it's more economical for us to save it for the winter months.
Mm-hmm.
We allow, you know, I kind of allowed the way things go, so I kind of fish in the fall and depend on this in the winter. So we kind of let the office know that, but then y'all said, well, we're going to have it all the same. Well, we wouldn't have agreed with that. We would have came to the meeting if I had known that it was going to be this way. So actually, we didn't start working the season until the second week of November. We was fishing for spots, so we took 5 weeks that we didn't participate into the industry. And we was told that it was going to be ended, so we accepted it. I did. I said, well, y'all said that you weren't going to extend it. But next year I would come to the meeting and kind of maybe advise that it would be for December, January, February. And then within a couple of days ago, I heard that y'all were going to allow the James River to be open. So I felt like, well, what's fair for
we
one?
Would consider allowing it to be open.
Consider. Yeah. Yes, sir. I said, what would be fair for one should be fair for another. That being we didn't work it 5 weeks, I thought that me would have a better chance.
Well, I encourage you to come to the meeting next year.
Yes, sir. I've informed
because we listened to the watermen who were there, and
well,
that's
I'm not,
what they wanted. They wanted the money from the October oysters, which made sense.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm not the one that likes to spend time in a meeting. No disrespect.
But a lot of us that way.
I will be more on top of it, but we wouldn't have chosen the time for it if we had. I'll stay into it.
Okay. Mr. Smith, do you have an established market over there for those oysters?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank y'all.
Anyone else?
Mr. Chairman?
I do have one question. It's a procedural question I have.
Okay.
If we were to couple this with the request, I'm not anticipating necessarily that we'd make the vote this way, but if we were to lower it from 10 to 6
mm-hmm.
on an emergency basis, what mm-hmm. is that a procedure we can follow in this particular instance?
Yes. Pursuant to, yep, have you pulled that one, Dave? 210. We'll go through it.
And it's
a pretty broad statute that gives the commission, if in an emergency, the adoption of regulations necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, that's not the case, health, not the case, safety, not the case, welfare, or the protection of the seafood industry, natural resource, marine organisms. Seafood industry, I think, is what we're dealing with. Okay? The regulation shall be published. So the protection of the seafood industry, I think, is what we're dealing with.
What regulation is that? 28.2.210.
210, yeah.
Correct.
And I just ask that because I understand the gentleman bringing up the issue for deep rock and wanting this to apply to both, and I just don't know how if we're saying we're making these adjustments, if it's based on the if we've taken enough evidence or looked at it, you know, with regards to that particular part of the state. So
I understand. We definitely have not done the sampling per se at deep rock that we did in the James River, unless Dr. Wesson can say with reasonable scientific certainty that he believes that those circumstances, as I ask him, are the same based on his knowledge and expertise. That's one of the reasons I asked for that
right.
specific that specific question. So I think emergency regulations, we've really, really avoided adopting them, at least during the time that I've been commissioner, to make sure that we didn't make law on the fly, for lack of a better way of putting it.
I guess that's the only thing that bothers me, because the watermen have asked that it just be extended for a certain period. Now we're going to say let's recommend it gets bumped to a month and lower the bushel. And I just think that's a lot happening all at one time that doesn't let people have the opportunity to come in and say, gosh, you know, this is what really happens when you do that, and you know, why is this an emergency? You know, and so that's, I guess that's the only thing that's been creeping along the back of my mind.
I have Mr. Tankard first, then Mr. Bowden.
With all due respect to the testimony today, I can't see that there is an emergency here, particularly when you read the 28.2.210. For me, the watermen have known this was our game plan. We've charted this course, and to vary from it, I think, in some ways, sends a message to the industry that we'll change course if you stand up and say, hey, we'd like you to do so. And we'll do that under the guise of emergency regulations. And I can't say the testimony's convinced me that there's any sense of emergency here.
Well, the only thing, and I'll get to Mr. Bowden, the only thing that I will say in order to make sure that my message was consistent, I think we agreed, though, December meeting, or I did, that we would undertake a sampling of the James River to assess the stock to see if it would sustain any further harvest. That's why we went for the 2-week period, and then Dr. Wesson, Dr. Mann, Mr. Leggett, I think, Mr. Leggett on board, Tommy, good to see you, went out and made the assessment. So if this were a situation where that had not been broached, where the waterman came through the door unannounced without any anticipation that any action would be taken, I would feel more in line with my colleague from the Eastern Shore. But I do believe that there was some impetus on the part of the agency that we would examine that situation. And at the present time, the emergency regulation is the only vehicle that we have at this juncture to effect that request. Mm-hmm. While, and I don't have any debate, maybe the statute could be worded a little bit differently as far as an emergency regulation is concerned, but I tend at this point to lean toward the assessment that was done by Dr. Weston and Dr. Mann. Dr. Mann indicates in his that he believes that this is a reasonable compromise. The Chesapeake Bay Foundation opposes it based on a letter that we received here. So that it's all over the table. But I just wanted to make sure when I make a promise and I say something, that it's followed through from a pathway perspective, and that's where I'm coming from on this one. So, you know, matters before the commission. But I think based on the densities and the science and the safeguards that have been articulated to me by our experts that have done an analysis to determine whether it's going to be 2 weeks with 8 to 10 or whether it's going to be 4 weeks with a 6-bushel limit, I'm satisfied with the science at hand. The only thing that I'm worried about is next year when the assessment's done, you're getting eggs at the hen house a little bit early before they have, you know, a chance to be there for next year. But that's a decision, you know, from an economic perspective that they have said that they're willing to either suffer or benefit from, and so be it. I'm sorry, Mr. Tankard.
There's a follow-up comment.
Yes, sir.
You know, business people plan. I'm sure it sounds like these watermen plan. If you were in the business, you would have planned for the season that we had indicated, and you may be doing something else. So if we're February, fixing something, et cetera. So I just find that one of the issues for me is that, okay, we've planned on this. The other watermen probably have planned on this, and all of a sudden we're going to be taking from that waterman next year, the guy that planned not to be fishing because that's what we said we'd be doing. That's one of the issues I have. And it didn't come to me until today, in a way. It seems sometimes our decisions take a little bit of thought to come up with.
As it should. Who's next? Mr. Fox?
This is a procedural question. I'm reading the law on the emergency regulation. It says 30 days. Is that 30 days from today, or is that 30 days from some future period that we designate, like February 1?
Well, I think the intent, David, correct me if I'm wrong, is 30 days from today.
Could it be 30 days from September 1?
Or could we? No, I think it's not, Jack. It's 30 days from today because you have to have a public hearing.
We have traditionally
3 days?
Allowed it to be 30 days from a date you designate.
Okay.
So if you're opening an area on February 1, it can be in effect for 30 days, and then it disappears unless you hold a public hearing and make it permanent.
Okay.
You have allowed yourself to do that.
Thanks for the reminder.
I agree with that. I don't think it's necessary for the commission to take action that would go into effect September 1st. Otherwise, it wouldn't be an emergency.
Right.
Rather than the ordinary regulatory process.
Okay.
Right. But the idea is it doesn't stay on the books. Once it hits it, for no more than 30 days before the public gets a crack at it.
I just wanted to ask, because it might, 30 days from today would run us short of the end of
sure. Mr. Bowden, I'm sorry.
A few comments. One for Mr. Plumlee, that I know you gentlemen missed a meeting last time. The watermen did not ask for 15 days. They asked for 90. It was my suggestion that we go with 15 days. In all fishery management plan, you do figure in weather. You know you're going to get some adverse weather. You don't figure in historical adverse weather. And we've had some historical adverse weather for the whole month of December. It's the worst I've seen in my lifetime. But I'm just a child compared to some people.
Yeah.
Not as many as it used to be.
I
only see two up here. But you know, that was my idea. And I think Mr. Tankard's correct on some things. You do plan things. But, you know, Mr. Tankard is very successful nursery business. He couldn't plan on some disease coming in and wiping out all his stock. I mean, there's some things you cannot plan for, and the amount of bad weather we had was one of them. I'm amazed with the effort that we saw in the James River. There really hasn't been as much fall off as I would have considered, but maybe due that they're so sparse to start with, it makes them much harder to catch. Going from 1.7 to 1.4 is not a large drop. Some of that could even be attributed to natural mortality. You're going to have some natural mortality during that period, and which I'm not suggesting that's the prime cause. I'm sure man-made cause was. I like the compromise with the six bushels. I really do. It will put people back to work, but I think it's going to be neutral as far as doing any damage to the oysters, because now you'll have people that would have migrated to the Rappahannock River that will not. So. And I feel like, and Mr. Weston, correct me if you're wrong, the Rappahannock River probably is a spawning area where some of these oysters are from. So you could very well do more damage in a spawning area than you would in an area that just grow out and die of old age, which very few oysters in Virginia ever die of old age. Disease usually gets them way prior to that. So I think, you know, we're looking at something that's neutral. We're spreading the effort out. We're putting some effort into a place that had a lot lower density, but we're not putting anything in, actually in the spawning grounds in jeopardy compared to the Rappahannock, where we actually are putting some spawning grounds into jeopardy. And I think the six bushel, and probably the watermen won't like when I say this, but if you have 10 bushel, there is going to be a tendency to push the limit. 2 7/8, that's pretty close. I might get away with it. But if you're allowed six, and you know you're going to catch, you can catch six, all legal size, you're going to destroy that tendency for to try to sneak some in to make up your 10. So I really think it's a good way to go. And when it comes time, I would like to make that motion that we do it. And far as the deep water rock is concerned, a lot of watermen and a lot of people in general, recreational fishermen too, do not attend meetings. And they don't understand how severe some of the stuff can be on an individual. But you have people here, including myself, when I come to a meeting, you know, to a certain extent, it's going to be self-interest. Now, my prospect is I was president of the Watermen Association till the day I die, I guess. I've been there so long. And I'm going to represent my group. But you have a lot of people who's going to represent a small group. And they're going to try to do the best they can for their people. So you have some people that on that deep water rock, it's very seldom used. I think it's a handful of people from all the past meetings I've been through. And it's not suitable to do anything but patent, basically. I guess you could dredge it, but we don't allow that. So I really don't have trouble folding that into it. I think basically what we're looking at is something that is not going to hurt the resource. We know we're not operating in the spawning ground in the James River. We are to a certain extent into the Rappahannock. But the Rappahannock was a done deal from day one. That was the agreement in the beginning that we would close it for 2 months and reopen it for a month. And we do know that's a spawning area. So I think it's a very good trade-off, putting some of the effort into a place that is not. And Mr. Wesson says the oysters are weaker now. I don't know if he just means the meat content is down or diseased or both.
I mean, we have just gotten the disease report out, and the Lower James is, we've had a real dry summer, and their diseases are, we're actually at a historic high. So,
I mean, you know, we're going to lose a lot of these oysters regardless of what we do. So, you know, we've been very lucky, and over the years I've led a fight. You know, everybody's come here a lot of times asking for us to do more with the upriver, and I said, that's the golden goose. I would never allow that. I would come here and argue against it if I wasn't on the commission. You know, that's the one thing we have is the James River Hantong spawning area. That's something we've always had. It's had some die-offs, but it's always come back. Some of these other areas have not particularly done that, and they've been very slow to respond. So we would never allow that. I would hope when I'm gone in 6 months that if it's brought up that, you know, it would never happen in my lifetime. But I really do feel confident, and I was the one that asked that we would look into to have it assessed, and Mr. Wesson agreed to do it, and Mr. Bowman was generous enough with the staff's time to look into it. And, you know, that's what we want to base our decision on is science. And science says we're not posing a large problem. Science also says that we may very well lose a lot of these oysters regardless to disease this year. We've been very fortunate that we've had a lot of rainy years, but they've ended. So when it comes time, I would like to make a motion.
For the comment. Mr. Plumlee?
Well, sir. Mr. Brown, I appreciate that. I think, I just want to be clear on the use of this emergency procedure. That does concern me that we don't take action that change the way people are doing business too rapidly without there being an appropriate process, just to give everybody a chance to air their thoughts. And you know this situation far better than I do. I can support with the Lower James. I'm thinking that, but to put on the deep water rock at the same time and then call that an emergency and lower their catch 10 to 6 and with the testimony of one person and not the same amount of effort that's gone into it, I think that concerns me. I don't know if we can separate those considerations in these motions,
you
potentially.
Sure,
I feel like we have to.
Yeah.
Right. Those are my thoughts.
Further comments from the public? Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Bowden?
I move that we reopen the James River hand scrape area for the month of February, not 30 days, for the month of February. And we impose a 6 bushel per person limit.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion on that motion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nah.
Motion carries with one dissension. The chair will entertain another motion. Mr. Bowden?
Can Mr. Wesson answer a few more questions?
Sure. Yep.
Could you give us an idea of the typical amount of effort on deep water rock?
Maximum of 3 boats. In the past, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen when you have it out there by itself, but based on, you know, we've reopened area 6 and 7 for patenting on this thing for January and February, and there's been 1 or 2 boats doing that. So I guess there's the grand scheme that there could be those two that moved, and you could end up with 4 boats. But it's always very low.
Has that been a recent event that we opened those two areas for patent hogging, or has it been historically that way?
No, this was a brand new thing that the watermen asked for. So they wanted to have some of the areas open for patent hogging, and we opened it after the season because they thought there would be some orchards in the deeper areas. they couldn't dredge. So that's,
has it played out that way?
No, they're catching 3 bushels a day per boat.
And on the deep water rock area?
It's deep rock. I mean, don't want to get it confused with, there's an area in the James called Deep Water Light. It's deep rock. It's off Gwynn's Island. It's very deep. It's an area that we've held for the Patentongers. Historically, it has been a late season because they liked theirs just like Tangier did, because they did other things first. But they did, and they did miss out on the comment periods, and weren't aware of it. And the standing stock at Deep Rock is more comparable to the Rappahannock, the 4 per meter, than it is to the James. It always maintains itself at low densities, but a little bit higher. I mean, you wouldn't want to. We tried dredging it one time, and it really hurt it in that area. But it has been coming back slowly, and it has about 4 market oysters per meter, similar to Drummond Ground right now. And we surveyed that in late November. So, I mean, it would have been a little bit in December, but December was an awful month, as you say, with very poor weather. So the effort out there in December that's open bay, was not a lot.
Thank you.
And we are talking Patentong here.
We're talking about Patentong, and this is the Patentong area. It was open for Patentong to start with, and they're asking for it to be reopened for Patentong for the same month at the same bushel limit that we're talking about.
All right, but
six.
But we don't have the science on that area that we have on the James River.
Last science we had was in November when they did the stock assessment there.
In November, so we didn't have the last month, but the last month was bad weather, low activity, and it was low activity to start with. So I'm sure it has not changed.
I mean, am I reading the right line on this number of boats chart, the Deep Rock?
Yes.
So
yes,
you only recorded one boat
right
the whole time.
Right. And that's when they started, and you know they're much more impacted by weather. And then there was not a lot of activity out there.
Further questions, Mr. Bowden?
I'm going to make a motion, but I'm going to make a suggestion first. The gentleman that came here today really needs to be involved on the Oyster Committee. And, you know, I see no scientific reason not to grant it. But in all actuality, if you've been there, we probably won't be at this juncture right now because the season would have been set like it historically had been. I think this area was kind of more or less lumped in with the rest of them at the time, and probably wasn't the right way to do it. But when you have no input, you're going to do this kind of thing. So I will move that we allow the Patentong season to open back up for the month of February on Deep Rock for Patentong, and with a 6 bushel per man limit.
Second. Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Fox.
I'll second the motion, but I will also ask Jim to please next year when this comes up to make sure that this area has a different season than the
It was in staff recommendation to the very end to
right
be a later season.
Yeah. Right. So let's remember that next year. I'll try to remember it too. But I second the motion.
Further discussion? I'm conflicted on this one because I from the emergency regulation perspective, I know that we have to utilize the emergency regulation section to handle the James River. James River was not a surprise. This came up yesterday. And I share Mr. Plumlee's concerns about making decisions. And that does not diminish in any way my belief in what staff has had to say about the stock assessment. I just have a concern from a public input perspective that this does not satisfy the intent of 28.2.12.10. I'll be voting against it. All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Who voted no? three, one, two, three, four, right? Four to three? Did I count right?
Yep.
Okay. Motion passes. Thank you. Right? Got my numbers right? Because that's kind of hard to count.
I wish we could ask. One, two, three, four.
Your votes.
Four, seven
me,
people.
Me, Ed, and
yep.
Seven people.
Brian, Ed, and I voted against it.
I'm not.